The rest of the story. Peggy ran home from school sobbing. Age 10, most of life's hurts lay before her, and yet this was the greatest thus far. Isolated, on an island in time, in a microcosm called childhood, Peggy could not imagine a day when she would look back on the event with a bittersweet smile. For her, the only world that she knew had come crashing down, and for then it seemed nothing could ever restore that world. But the little girl was very wrong. This is the rest of the story. Summer evenings as twilight fell, a sort of magic descended with it over Peggy's neighborhood, for it was then that the children, tired of play, stopped to listen as the old folks on porch swings would spin webs of enchantment in tales of their own once upon a times. Near Peggy's house, there lived many who had survived and even fought in the war, and the youngsters would sit enraptured for hours to hear of the generals and what they did and why one was better than the other and of the ambulances with no springs, so dreadfully uncomfortable that a wounded soldier was better off walking 50 miles to a hospital, and of the hospitals themselves where disease spread more quickly than an oncoming regiment, and how hard it was to march on an empty stomach, and how far a soldier had to march hungry if he belonged to this outfit or that outfit. And the women would recall stories of the home front from those days, and then they would sing once again the songs they sang when husbands and brothers and fathers and friends left home, many never to return. Yet all would speak reverently, enthusiastically, sadly, and sometimes even happily of that war, as though it had all happened only the week before. These were the tales that filled a small child's imagination through balmy summer twilights and on winter nights by firelight, long strings of lively memories like glistening Christmas tree garland from the old ladies and the old men at hearthside, rocking and regaling, revealing and reminiscing. By the age of 5, little Peggy was permitted to go horseback riding with the veterans, the old cavalrymen who quickly grew to love her and who told her of their campaigns and instructed her in the grace of saber and gun. And sometimes on Sunday afternoons, the little girl dressed in her best would visit elderly relatives and sit quietly on a footstool as the battles of bygone days exploded to life once more. But then, one day little Peggy came home from school in tears, feeling strangely betrayed as an unintended victim of a collective sin of omission. For all of the people who certainly knew the truth, her neighbors, her family in her hometown, Atlanta, Georgia, her father, the president of the Atlanta Historical Society, her mother, a noted authority on Southern United States history, her brother, the editor of the Atlanta Historical Bulletin, of all of those who had so splendidly educated a small girl on the subject of the American War Between the States, all of those long afternoons and evenings of listening to the details, they had neglected one which seemed now so significant detail. It was Peggy, young Margaret Mitchell, who one day would author the definitive saga of the South, because she learned for the first time at the age of 10, in shock and dismay, she learned that the North had won. Americans for more than half a century have been captivated by Peggy's epic, Gone with the Wind. Now you know the rest of the story.